student program, and also Naomi Namaguchi, who is one of the Tatum Foundation awardees as well. And now we will begin with the Promise Access Scholarship Program. This is Betty Daniels, and you're welcome to the Impact Show. And on, we have a young lady here who is part of the Promise Zone Access Network, and I'm going to let her introduce herself completely again.
My name is Kay Laroni, and I am the Executive Director of the Hazel Park Promise Zone and College Access Network.
All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that we're talking about a young executive director, okay? So how did you come about getting involved with the Promise Zone?
So when I graduated from Michigan State University in 2012, I became involved with an organization called the National College Advising Corps. And it's actually a wonderful organization. I am probably the biggest advocate for it now. And what it does is it partners with universities throughout the country to place their recent college graduates in high schools to advise students who are generally low-income, first-generation college students, and just to help them through, first of all, figure out why college is important, why they should be looking at extending their education, and then helping them figure out really how to get there. So again, first generation college students, most of their parents never attended college or never went on to any sort of post-secondary education. So while many of them have huge goals and huge dreams, they don't really have the direction on how to make those a reality. And so that's what the Advising Corps does.
All right, now, did I understand? All right, now we mentioned the Promise Zone. What is the Promise Zone?
Yes, so the Promise Zone is actually a legislatively created program. It was passed by Governor Granholm, former Governor Granholm. And it is a community development through increased education attainment initiative. And so it was formed based on the Kalamazoo Promise. If you're familiar with that, if you're not familiar with that, the Kalamazoo Promise guarantees full college tuition to any school in Michigan for students who graduate from a Kalamazoo school and reside in the Kalamazoo School District. So we're not quite as comprehensive, but we guarantee at minimum a tuition-free path to an associate's degree to any student who graduates from Hazel Park and lives in the district. So we are one of 10 that was one of 10 communities that was designated a Promise Zone through that legislation. And there are 10 fairly distressed communities throughout Michigan with low education rates.
Right. When I was looking it up on the web, a lot of people know about Wayne County, they know about Dearborn. This were the lesser or the smaller cities that were targeted for these type of assistance. Now, I did hear you that it is for the Hazel Park. Each zone has a locality that they're specific.
Yes, exactly. So there are 10 throughout the state, and they're Baldwin, Benton Harbor, Battle Creek, Lansing, Jackson. Detroit actually is one, a lesser known one. So and every zone is a little bit different. So we guarantee at minimum an associate's degree. So we will pay for a student to attend Oakland Community College completely for free. Mm-hmm. That's the in-district community college for our students.
Right.
Or they can take that funding to any other post-secondary institution in Michigan. So we've got students at other community colleges, four-year institutions, and even trade and vocational programs.
All right. Now, if a person was interested in signing up for your program, how would they go about doing that?
So to get our actual scholarship, they have to attend Hazel Park Schools, mm-hmm. and they have to live in the Hazel Park School District,
right.
which encompasses the city of Hazel Park and a portion of Ferndale.
Mm-hmm.
So they would need to come into the school district. And we actually, just in the past year alone, we've had 20 families who moved into the school district mm-hmm. cite the Promise Zone as their reason for moving in. And mm-hmm. so that shows us that we're really making progress, but they can receive some of the other assistance even if they don't live in the school district and they just need to contact me.
I did notice when I was doing my research that was one of the reasons that Hazel Park was so proud of it, is that it was encouraging families to come back or to come into the Hazel Park City district, and because of the education, to draw on the fact that there's educational opportunities. And if I'm hearing you correctly, that is working.
It is definitely working. This past year has been huge for us. We've really seen a lot of gains. So mm-hmm. our main kind of ideals are college readiness, college mm-hmm. access, and college success. So the scholarship kind of falls into the access piece, as well as the full-time college advisor that we have at the high school, mm-hmm. working one-on-one with seniors. And the readiness piece is also another sort of point of pride for us specifically right now. We have provided funding for a tutoring program for Hazel Park students, high school specifically, although we're expanding into the junior high next year. And so what this program does, it's called the PASS program, mm-hmm. Promoting Academic Student Success. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it requires freshmen who are at risk of failing or at risk of failing a core academic class to attend after school tutoring.
Okay.
And so we have seen huge gains in the percentage of students passing all their classes. We've mm-hmm. only had it implemented for a year. Mm-hmm. And after the first semester of this past school year, 87% of our freshmen were on track to graduate, meaning they passed enough of their classes to still be kind of mm-hmm. on that track. In previous years, it was about 55%.
All right.
So huge gains. We've also seen gains in ACT scores and MME scores.
All right. The person has to be enrolled in college, in the high school before they would qualify, or can you have someone who graduated, didn't know about it, too, and then they want to get to take advantage of it?
So they would have to have graduated since we implemented the program, which started in 2012.
All right.
So if the student graduated in 2012 or later, mm-hmm. then they could still qualify. So we have had some students actually say, oh, I had heard about it, but I didn't know a lot of details. Can I get it now? And as long as they graduated in 2012 or later, they have been able to.
All right. What if this person received a GED?
A GED would qualify them as well.
All right. What have you seen now? You've been with the program, was it a year or 2 years?
So I've been running the program for a year and a half, and I came in and started working with the program 2 years ago. So it's kind of moved fast.
All right. I hear this move fast. What things have moved fast?
So I would say the biggest thing that has moved fast is our increase in test scores. And I would say that just because it's such a quantifiable gain. Mm-hmm. So when we began the program, or when the founders began the program in about 2011, they set a goal. The ACT score, average ACT score of Hazel Park students at the time was, I believe, about a 16.5. Mm-hmm. And they set the goal of getting to an 18.5 by the year 2015. Mm-hmm. And this year, 2014, we were at a 19.1.
All right.
So significantly surpassed that goal before even the goal year.
Now, how many students are part of this program at this point?
So we currently have about 40 scholarship recipients, mm-hmm. but we work with every student in the high school. So our college advising program has maintained or either made contact or maintained contact with every student who's graduated 2012, 2013, and now 2014. And we've got our strongest presence is in Hazel Park High School because we've got 2 full-time staff members there. Mm-hmm. But we do work with the junior high and elementary schools as well.
All right. Okay. The staffing. What are the staffing? Who are part of your organization?
So we have a full-time college advisor, which is my previous position. Mm-hmm. And so we just actually hired a new young lady who's going mm-hmm. to be starting in the fall. She just completed her training. And her goal is really to work individually with every senior in Hazel Park. And obviously not every student is going to go right on to a traditional college. We do understand that. But what we want to do is guarantee that all students have some sort of direction. So whether that's cosmetology school or an electrician apprentice program or a community college or a 4-year school or the military, we want to make sure that they have someone working with them to make sure all the steps are in place. We've seen some less quantifiable successes that we've had are really just individual student stories. Mm-hmm. Like we had a girl who, one of the students I was closest to, actually this was when I was a college advisor, she happened to mention to me that she had been in foster care. And that was as we kind of got closer and had built a relationship. And I happened to know from my training for the position that Western Michigan University has an amazing program for students who have been in foster care. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with her to fill out the application, work on the essays. We did interview prep once she made it to that point in the application process, and she ended up getting admitted into the program. So she's about to be a junior at Western on a mm-hmm. full ride,
right.
And she absolutely loves it. She's active, she's doing well in school, just the support services she's gotten through that program have been outstanding, and she never would have probably known about the program if it hadn't been for that one-on-one contact that came from our advising program.
All right, now is your access, now let me say that, what if a person went to a 2-year program and that was like, another question popped in my head, but a 2-year program, and that was completed the training process. Do you work with them to try to get them employed, or is it something?
So because we just finished our second year of scholarships, we haven't seen a lot of that yet, mm-hmm. But we want to be there for them for that. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what we're working on now. I said the third sort of, so college readiness, access, and success. Mm-hmm. Success is what we're kind of just starting mm-hmm. programming for, just because what we define as success is persistence to completion of a degree and entrance into the workforce.
All right.
So we want to really maintain contact with our students once they go on to college or whatever their path takes them
mm-hmm.
and help them get direction until they become employed, because obviously that's the ultimate goal.
All right. So, all right. Do you work collaborative with other organizations to support your process? And so what are those organizations?
Yes, we do. And one that I think is most significant is actually the Michigan College Access Network. And they are a statewide nonprofit. And the director actually is a former staff member of Governor Granholm. So it sort of came out of her administration as all mm-hmm. of this sort of college access mm-hmm. Initiated or programming in the state mm-hmm. began. Mm-hmm. And what they do, and this is how this could be duplicated in other communities, they actually provide startup grants and technical assistance to communities who would like to start college access initiatives themselves.
Oh, okay.
So they are absolutely wonderful.
This is the Michigan Works?
This is the Michigan College Access Network.
Okay.
And so their executive director, Brandy Johnson, is always looking for new communities to start programs up in. So there are several right now in Metro Detroit.
Okay.
And they, like I said, they offer technical assistance, they offer ideas, they offer grant funding, so we've been grant funded by them.
Mm-hmm.
We also, you mentioned Michigan Works, we are kind of in the process of developing a partnership mm-hmm. with them. They're a group that we see as very kind of...
germane.
Exactly. And really related to what we want to do. We all have the same goals, and mm-hmm. so we want to become more a closer partner with them.
All right.
And we work very closely with primarily Oakland Community College right now,
mm-hmm.
but we're working to develop closer relationships with all of the local colleges and universities so that we can really help lead our students into the right programs for them.
Is there a specific curriculum that that is offered through your program? Like, you know, I heard you say cosmetology, but are there some other, job-specific curriculum that you are, or is it more general?
So we allow our students to choose any curriculum they want, and then we'll support them, because we're really big on finding the right match and the right fit for each student.
Mm-hmm.
Because for this student, this path may be the best way, but can't really make a blanket student or blanket statement for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some would be best in cosmetology, some would be best in pre-med,
mm-hmm.
some might be best enlisting in the Marines. And so we really try to help them figure out what they want and what will help them achieve their goals. And so that's really important to us.
All right. I'm hearing then there are different outcomes.
Yes.
Okay, because one is maybe training, another one is fulfillment, or how would you best?
I would say guidance mm-hmm. is a big mm-hmm. goal for us, just to make sure all of our participants are on the right path.
Okay. Now, the funding part of you, is it through a grant, a state grant?
So that is actually an interesting question, because right now we're completely privately funded through grant funding
mm-hmm.
and not through the state, except our funding through the Michigan College Access Network is partially state funded. They're funded through a state appropriation, as well as grants from Kresge and some other
mm-hmm.
Major foundations.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some funding from them. We've actually received funding from Walmart, a mm-hmm. grant from the Walmart Foundation. And the Sutar Sutarik Meyer Foundation has actually been our largest grantor. And they are based in Hazel Park,
mm-hmm.
but they have several different focus areas, Hazel Park revitalization being one of them. And they helped us start out through a $100,000 matching grant
mm-hmm.
that we were able to match through smaller community fundraising events. And then
mm-hmm.
they just recently, we were very excited, donated another scholarship grant to us, so $50,000 toward our scholarship program,
mm-hmm.
as well as funding for the expansion of that tutoring program I mentioned
mm-hmm.
into the junior high.
All right. Can a person have multiple supports come through? I'm thinking, you know, like federal monies, can they have both of those and still qualify for you?
So right now, if they receive Pell grants or TIP money, they do not receive our funding, just because we're guaranteeing an associate's degree. So we'll help them get that funding, which prior to the Promise Zone coming in, Hazel Park's FAFSA, so free application for federal student aid, completion percentage was only about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And generally more students are likely to go if they see how much is available to them,
mm-hmm.
how much funding. And since we implemented our program, we're at about 75% FAFSA completion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're helping a lot of students get that federal money who wouldn't have realized it was available to them before. So while they are not eligible for our scholarship, we still help them through the processes to get that federal funding. If they do receive other scholarships, so institutional aid from colleges or private scholarships, they can receive ours on top of that. And we're working right now to, our kind of fundraising campaign is focused around being able to expand our scholarships to provide it on top of Pell and tuition incentive program money to students who may go to four-year schools where that funding does not cover everything.
All right. Let's say a single parent who's in high school. Okay. Are there, do you work with other agencies to collaboratively, you know, address, you know, because sometimes the babysitting or that type of thing?
Yes, definitely. So as situations come, and this is one thing that's so nice about having the full-time staffing in the high school, we really get to build relationships with the students. And that's another benefit of having such a small school. It's only about 900 students in the high school. So we really are able to develop relationships with particularly the older students that we're working the closest with. So we have had students who are single parents, the student, like I mentioned, who'd been in foster care, and other sort of unrelated to education things going on, but that affect education and just affect a student's life in general. And so we work closely with them to figure out where else they can get assistance. So yes, we definitely do.
All right.
So it's the Promise Zone and College Access Network.
Okay.
Is technically what we're called. But even within Hazel Park, people who know who we are just say, oh, the college people, oh, the Promise Zone. I don't think anybody generally outside of our organization goes through the entire name. But
All right. Now, what I was finding out was that they're, depending on when a community started their program, they might be in phase two, phase three, or whatever. Which phase, the onset of the Promise Zone, I guess, is about, what, 5 or 6 years old? Or the
Yes, I was actually in that. I think what you're referring to is actually something I realized I should have mentioned as I was going through funding. So the way the Promise Zone legislation was set up, Promise Zones are eligible to receive state funding after they've been in existence for more than 2 years.
Okay.
And the where that funding will come from is through TIF. It's kind of, so generally TIF funding is to support infrastructure projects. So this is the first that I know of nationwide that's done to promote, to support an educational project. So what we will receive is we will receive half of the increase in the state education tax revenue to the Hazel Park community.
Now you're gonna have to break that down.
Yes, I will definitely break that down. So what that means is ideally the program will help increase property values in Hazel Park. That's the goal. So by bringing more people in, just as the economy sort of is on the upswing anyway. And as the property values increase, the school district will receive more money just because the school district funding from the state is directly affected by property taxes.
Okay.
And so once the property taxes start increasing, we will receive half an increase in the revenue to the school district.
Okay.
So right now we're projected to see our first increases in property values in 2016, and we're expecting about a $75,000 increase to the school district. So that would mean we would receive about $37,000-$38,000 to our program.
Does that make you in competition with the school district?
No. And that is a question other people have asked as well. The school district and we are very much closely related. Really, a lot of people, even in the community, don't realize we're even separate. So the school district sees when we are funded, we're helping them because we're helping recruit students. We're helping the readiness aspects, helping their test scores go up, and helping their students go on to college. So they see it as very, very positive. They actually, Hazel Park's been kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say invited to speak at different things, although that's true too, but really has been contacted quite a bit lately to talk about what they've been doing that's allowed them to see such increases in the past year or two. And when I had a conversation yesterday with the principal of the high school, he said every time he specifically cites the Promise Zone as a major reason for that.
Okay. How has your responsibilities changed since you started the program?
I would say that most significant way my responsibilities have changed is in program development. So when I first came on, it was primarily that my role would be fundraising to get more scholarships, helping the college advisor with working with students, but not necessarily direct service as much as sort of program facilitation. And as we've seen what's really been most beneficial, we've seen that these extra programs, the tutoring programs, the ACT prep programming we implemented, those things are really where we're making huge impacts right away. And so I've really been working to figure out what else we can do. What else can we implement? We're talking about putting together a mentoring program for girls. And mm-hmm. I really envision us as becoming a more comprehensive program than we already are. Yes, mm-hmm. we're focused on education, but for someone to get an education, so many other things have to fall into place as well. And I really want to make sure that those things can fall into place for our students too.
Okay. Do you sometimes see the fact that once you've reached your goal and what, you know, I guess I'm going to ask you what that goal might be, that your program will be no longer needed? And if so, how would that come about? Or is it something else going on?
I would say that ultimately we want to be sustainable forever. The mm-hmm. only way I could see us not being needed is if all of our students could go to college for free, or if college costs were significantly reduced. One kind of specific example that made me think of that at one point was several months ago, and I think it was State Senator Whitmer brought up the fact of doing free college for everybody in Michigan, at least community college, mm-hmm. and she was looking at different ways of funding it, and I can't remember exactly what it was called. And I was thinking, well, if they offer free college for everyone, they wouldn't need our scholarship program because mm-hmm. college would be paid for. But that doesn't mean that they don't still need the other resources. So the tutoring programs, I think, will always be needed. The one-on-one assistance to students will always be needed. I know that I wish I had had a college-specific advisor when I was in high school helping me. Oh, well, have you thought about this? What about this? Have you looked into this funding source?
Mm-hmm.
Because we really see, probably on a near daily basis, the impact we're making with mm-hmm. individual students. And that's been huge. So many students have told us, at least multiple students each year have told us, I would not be going to college if it weren't for the Promise Zone. Not mm. even funding wise. These are students who don't even receive scholarships from us. So maybe they receive Pell Grants, and which many of our students do, because we do have a high free and reduced lunch rate in the school district. So maybe the student receives Pell Grants, but no idea how to get through the admissions process mm-hmm. without this advising and this assistance. And we've had students, even one student who would have gone to college anyway, he was accepted into his dream school, which is the University mm-hmm. of Michigan. He was one of the top students in our graduating class. He was an Eagle Scout, everything. pretty much the ultimate college application mm-hmm. student. And he was accepted into his dream school and then decided to go to Eastern. And mm-hmm. Eastern's obviously a great school, but when I found that out, I said, Jacob, why Eastern? I thought you wanted to go to Michigan and you got in. And he said, well, I didn't know how to fill out the supplemental form that Michigan required.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why didn't you come to me? That's what I'm here for. And he said, well, you were always busy with other students. There are always students in your office needing help. So I figured Eastern's a good school too. I'll just go there. And I said, well, why don't we fill out the form and just see what money you get from Michigan so you can actually make the best decision for you. And if that ends up being Eastern, great. But if Michigan gives you enough money and it ends up being Michigan, okay. And so I helped him fill out the form, and he ended up getting a full ride to Michigan. So he is about to be a sophomore at the University of Michigan on a full ride. And he would have been taking out loans to go to Eastern. Not many, mm-hmm. but still, now he's going to come out debt-free from one mm-hmm. of the top universities in the world.
While you were mentioning that, the Promise Access Scholarship.
So yes.
That's just for the academic. Does it provide for,
room and board.
Room and board or food and stuff.
At this point, it's only tuition and fees. Mm-hmm. And so we started out smaller with just the tuition and fees and just community college rate because we want to make sure we're not making a promise we can't keep. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure we had more than enough funding mm-hmm. to sustain this mm-hmm. promise until we receive enough to really expand it. Eventually, we want to be where we'll pay for 4 years for students to go to any school in the state, just like Kalamazoo does, mm-hmm. and ultimately to pay for room and board as well. But at this point, we don't.
All right. Well, I guess also by them being located within the city, a lot of that is already taken care of just by the location, that type of thing.
Yes, exactly. And quite a few of our students, I would say the majority, do go to schools in the area and commute. So we have many students going to Oakland and other community colleges in the area, quite a few going to Wayne State, quite a few going to Oakland University. So a lot of our students don't live on campus, although quite a few do, and we really try to show students the benefits of living on campus as mm-hmm. well, if that is an option financially for them.
All right. Now, then, therefore, really, you're more or less the fiduciary body, if that's the right term, and then you provide the money resource, and then it's sent to the wherever college they're going to?
Yes, so it's sent directly to the university or to the college, not to the students themselves.
All right. And is there a penalty if the student doesn't finish the coursework, or just...
So there's not a penalty if the student doesn't complete the coursework, but then they don't get the next semester's worth of funding. So to maintain the scholarship, so they can have any GPA in high school and get the scholarship coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. But to maintain that scholarship, they have to maintain a 2.0 once they enter college. And so mm-hmm. that is pretty consistent with financial aid regulations at different colleges and universities. So they have to maintain a 2.0. And if they drop classes, generally, the way we have it working right now with the partner schools, and we're trying to get this with all of them, but it's at least with the ones we work with the most students for, we have them bill us later. So they mm-hmm. know I will contact the schools with the list of students that will be attending that school and receiving our scholarships, and then they'll put a kind of a hold on the student's account saying they don't need to pay their tuition right away, it will be paid later by us, and then they'll invoice us after the drop ad period.
Okay.
So that the students aren't refunded for our funding or anything like that.
All right. Is there an involvement with businesses and organizations within
So we do have on our board some local business representation. What we really want to do, and we're hoping to start this year, is develop partnerships with businesses who might have our students come in job shadow, particularly our high school students, although also college students for internships and such. But we'd really like to start more of a career focus within mm-hmm. our high school. Mm-hmm. So helping, whether it's a field trip to a local business or a one-on-one job shadowing for a day or over a month or semester period, we're hoping to start those partnerships this year. And actually, our new college advisor and I met yesterday, sort of laying out what we envision for that. Because again, like you said earlier, the ultimate goal is to get these students employed. That's why we're pushing college and other training. That's why we want them to do so well to begin with. And actually, the reason this movement has become so broad, I would say, the college access movement in general, is research shows that by the year 2025, about 60% of jobs in Michigan and in the United States as a whole will require some form of post-secondary education, whether it's a four-year degree, two-year degree, vocational certification, some sort of post-secondary training. And right now in the state of Michigan, only about 36% of adults have that. So that's a 24% gap that our workforce needs to fill with educated people. In Hazel Park specifically, only about 14% of adults have an associate's degree or higher. So that's obviously a 46% gap that we're really trying to fill just for to maintain economic prosperity in the area.
The skilled trades, would your funds help a student get into some type of training like that? Or if so, you know, how?
Yes, we will. And we are in the, so we've met with the electrician training program that has a facility out in Warren. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on what the actual title of it is, but it's an electrician apprenticeship school and program. And we're already working with them to set up kind of a, not necessarily a pipeline for our students to get right in, but whether it's them coming to speak to our students or students taking tours of the facilities. And we really plan to do this with other trade and kind of trade unions mm-hmm. throughout the Metro Detroit area, mm-hmm. because we do know that that's, first of all, there are major job opportunities mm-hmm. approaching and already in existence mm-hmm. in those fields. And also we know that for a lot of our students, that could be and is the best fit. And so again, we're all about matching and fitting our students to the best program for them. And so we definitely will fund those students who enter those programs and really push them if that's the direction they want to go in. We're planning to do a skilled trades day this probably November or December mm-hmm. at Hazel Park High School, where we bring these different programs in. It's mm-hmm. kind of like a career fair or mm-hmm. a college fair would be, but with trade specific programming.
All right. And I did, earlier we just talked about if someone was interested in getting in touch with you, how would they go about doing it?
Yes. So the best way is probably actually our website is hazelparkpromise.com.
Now, slow down and say it again.
hazelparkpromise.com. So it's hazelparkpromise.com.
All right.
So you can find all information on there.
All right. Is there a local telephone number for you?
There is. So my office phone number is 248- 5107. And you can also email me at Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, dot Roney, R-O-N-E-Y, at Hazel Park Schools, schools is plural, dot O-R-G.
All right.
School year. I do work school hours, so I'm in the school unless I'm out at a meeting or working with somebody. But I do work a little bit with students, students coming in asking questions about college, asking questions about different opportunities, different careers they're looking into. But I also do a lot of grant writing, so I'm constantly doing grant research or working on grant proposals. Mm. I work with our higher ed partners throughout the region. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out as much as I can about the programming they have at their schools that could assist our students who go there. Mm. So whether it's a tutoring program that's offered through Michigan State or a summer bridge program for maybe less prepared students at Wayne State University, I'm wanting to keep up on all of those resources so that I can direct our students to them. So I do meet a lot with our higher ed partners throughout the area as well.
And am I hearing that this is a one-man shop or is it?
So I do most of definitely the administration of the programs, mm-hmm. but we really work with a collective impact model. And so what that is saying is that we're a bunch of partners kind of working together toward the same goals. Mm-hmm. So while I actually do run the day-to-day operations, we've got a great team of board members, all volunteers who help as well. And they are business people, they're our state representative, city government officials, the Oakland Community College campus president. Mm-hmm. And so they work with me and help me out a lot too. We also have our other staff member who's the college advisor, mm-hmm. as well as an intern, mm-hmm. that helps us with the kind of day-to-day activities.
Now, you mentioned that you're in the school. So
yes.
So that intern and your other advisor, they're the ones in the schools? Oh.
So we actually all have offices in the school, which is extremely nice. It actually was something that was not the case with my predecessor. Because I had already been in the school in my previous position as the college advisor, I actually requested to stay just because I felt like having the Promise Zone's full presence there really kept us in the front of students' minds, and mm-hmm. I really liked that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been able to help us change the culture of the school quickly as well. We're all based in the high school.
All right. And then the teachers and things refer them to students to you? Or
yeah, so with seniors, the senior students are all kind of called down by the college advisor. So she goes around and introduces herself to all the senior English classes is generally how we do it, so that we hit everybody, and says, come to me, come talk to me. If you don't come to me, I'll call you down. Mm-hmm. So generally, most students come down on their own, or I would say maybe not most students, but quite a few. And then we sort of go down the list and call students down. And teachers are really on board. We try to not call students down during AP classes or during science and mm-hmm. math, where it's extremely hard to miss and catch back up. But we'll call students down to work with them. That's more her. I don't really do that as much. Mm-hmm. But because I've been there now a couple years, students know I'm the college lady. Again, they don't necessarily know what the whole name is, but they know I am college. So a lot of them will come to me and talk about things as well. It's been nice because now I've even been getting calls this summer from former students who say, oh, I remember you talking to me about study abroad. Can I come in and just talk about what different options are, what other clubs and things I can do? So they really do come back too, mm-hmm. which has been nice.
Okay. All right. Then you are combination education, recruitment, and a little bit of all?
Yes, I would say a little bit of all of it.
Well, what would you specifically say?
I would say that, I hate to say, some people ask, well, are you higher ed? I would say college access professionals across the board.
Okay. If you were, in summary, outline the three basic principles of your program.
Okay, so the principles of our program, which all point toward our full mission, which is community revitalization through increased educational attainment, our college readiness, so making sure that all of our K-12 students in Hazel Park are prepared and ready to go to college and succeed, college access, which is helping them through the processes, how to get there, how to fill out an application, what they need to send, whether they should retake the ACT, how to secure the sufficient funding for mm-hmm. the program, and then college success, making sure once they get there, they're able to transition smoothly and really succeed and persist until they complete a degree.
Okay. And if you had to identify three things that you have, three milestones that you've seen since you've been on, or maybe we're repeating ourselves, but three of the milestones that you have seen occur over the entire period, because you said there was a predecessor to you.
Then yes.
Like, how long was that person there?
So she was there about 2 years.
2 years. So the program is almost 5 years now?
Yes. Yeah, so we're in our, we just completed our third full year in the school district, mm-hmm. but prior to that, it was planning and mm-hmm. kind of getting things ready to start.
All right. Then.
So three full years of okay. actual programming.
Over the period and duration of the program, what would be the three milestones you think have occurred?
I would say that the first milestone would be that increase in test scores. Mm-hmm. So we are now quickly approaching the state average for mm-hmm. ACT. We're at a 19.1, and we're higher than, we have a higher average than nearly all of the surrounding school districts, which mm-hmm. is huge. It was significantly lower. It's historically been significantly lower. Mm-hmm. And so that is huge and is really helping open doors for our students, but also helping our school district to be seen in a better light, which mm-hmm. then recruits students in. I would say another one is, and maybe the biggest one, is the really culture shift that we've seen within the school district. Mm-hmm. So now we're seeing a focus on college preparation throughout mm-hmm. the entire district. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I haven't been there that long, so I can't necessarily make the comparison, but the teachers who have been there for 20, 30 years, who went to the school themselves, say that since the implementation of the Promise Zone, kids are talking about college, kids are thinking about college, kids are asking about college, kids are planning to go, and kids are actually going, mm-hmm. which wasn't the case before.
Right.
And I would say that the third milestone would be, and this is maybe hard to put into words, but I would have to count it as all of the students who have gone places that they never would have gone mm-hmm. otherwise. So that's, I guess, a lot of milestones into one milestone. But all of those students who never even thought about college mm-hmm. and then were called down to our college advising office and now are succeeding okay. in a college or university program.
Okay. And in the next 3 to 5 years, what would the three things you'd like to see happen?
Three things I would like to see in the next 3 to 5 years. The number one would be expansion of our scholarship program. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, like I said, we'd like to get it to a 4-year full scholarship to any school in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But the first step to me is providing scholarships to students who receive Pell or TIP funding mm-hmm. and are attending a university where that doesn't cover everything. So mm-hmm. I'd really like to give scholarships to those students. So mm-hmm. that would be the first one for sure.
Okay.
The second one would be soft skills and kind of programming. So whether that's a mentorship program, like I mentioned, we're mm-hmm. looking at starting one for junior high girls mm-hmm. or maybe an after school program at the high school where we work on kind of college knowledge mm-hmm. curriculum. So mm-hmm. transitioning into the world, financial mm-hmm. literacy, things
right.
like that.
Right.
So I'd really like to become more skill comprehensive formally. Right now we do it on an individual basis, meeting with students,
all right.
but not so much full programming for a ton of students at a time, which I'd like to do. And the third one would be to expand our junior high and elementary school programming. So we've really done a great job of getting fully engaged in the high school environment. And while we are currently, we do have presence in the junior high and elementary schools, I'd like to become close to as much of a regular presence there as we are in the high school. It won't be the same just because high school students are the ones closest to college, but it starts early. If they're not doing well in reading when they're in third grade, they're less likely to stay on track in reading in middle school and then mm-hmm. fall more and more behind and end up not doing well and not being ready to succeed once they graduate high school. So,
all right. And when you started off, you were saying that the Kalamazoo Promise shared information with you, or did they train you?
Yes. So the Kalamazoo Promise has helped us by, first of all, just serving as sort of a model. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to, and they're also very accessible. So we've been able to talk to their director and their mm-hmm. staff about, hey, how do you work with this? How have you dealt with this problem or this kind of issue that's come up? The biggest thing that I've seen from them that I've taken directly to our district is really the culture shift mm-hmm. and even just little things like having teachers wear college shirts to school and posting their degrees or their college paraphernalia in their classrooms. Even little things like that make a big difference because it starts the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we saw Kalamazoo able to do, and we've really begun to transform Hazel Park in the same way.
Is there contact with other access programs? You said there were 10. So do you do those 10 share information?
Yes, okay. Definitely. So the 9 other Promise Zones, and we all work together. So we meet at least quarterly in Lansing with a state consultant that's provided through the state of Michigan to consult the Promise Zones. He's actually the man who spearheaded the legislation when he was Governor Granholm's education policy advisor. So mm-hmm. he's been with the initiative from the very beginning, mm-hmm. and he helps us quite a bit with just kind of creating vision or streamlining processes, sharing ideas, connecting us with other people. And so we do work closely. We also, I mentioned the Michigan College Access Network. They have, and the fact that they've begun started other programs throughout the state, college access programs that may not have the scholarship, but have mm-hmm. the other resources available. Mm-hmm. And we meet quarterly as well, so the directors of those programs.
Okay.
And so there is very much a statewide network of college access professionals.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Joining us, and look forward to seeing more about hearing more about you, okay?
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Looking for some good news? Tune into Impact the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Tuesdays of the month at 1 p.m. Impact is about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. You can hear that good news from Lynn and Betty, and who knows, you might be inspired to make an impact yourself. That's Impact every 2nd, 4th, and 5th Tuesday at 1 p.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 FM, the station making waves.
Now, introduce yourself, okay?
My name is Sandra Jackson, and I'm a Tatum Foundation board member.
All right, okay. And you've been involved with them for how long?
Oh, I guess it's been at least 5 or 6 years now.
Okay. How'd you come to know about them?
Missed meeting him. He was directing a summer choir, and I was his accompanist. So it's been many years now.
All right. What do you think are the benefits of the Tatum Foundation?
I think most of the young people get an extra opportunity to, with financial support, to study where maybe they wouldn't have that opportunity.
Okay. All right, and the opportunity, what do you mean?
The millennium people, these are the young people who have not graduated from high school, get an opportunity to maybe study during the summer at places like Interlaken or Blue Lake. And those who have graduated or who are graduating from high school, he assists them in their college studies. Well, just recently, one of his millennium scholars is 10-year-old Naomi Yamaguchi. I heard her first last year, so this will be the second scholarship showcase that she's participated in, and brings back great memories. I started very young as a child, never as proficient as she is, but just seeing her last year when they had to put a cushion under her feet so that she could reach the pedals brought back memories. And so just to see what he's inspiring in my students who study private with me, I asked them to come so they could see what can be done and what can you continue on to do.
Okay.
A concert every spring, and there have been many. There was a young man, I believe now Dr. So-and-so, I've forgotten his name, but he was a flutist, and he studied in Germany and became part of the German orchestra, and I believe he's in New York now, so that was another one. And then there was a harpist named, I know her last name is Lily. A harpist, a unique instrument in itself, and I was very impressed with what she did. Basically, he focuses on the classical, the jazz, and he also inspires photography, artists, you know, and last year one of the young ladies did interpretive sign language.
Okay.
So there are many, you know, many areas, many genres, but classical, I think, would be the most focused. Jazz would be next, because, of course, you know, Mr. Tatum is. just a live wire. His theme is Keep On Vibrating, and he's always trying to introduce his foundation to different segments of the public. And I think it's so inspiring that he wants to continue to do this after, 26 years now,
I think it is. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Hello.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, can you give me your name?
Naomi Yamaguchi.
Okay. And where are you going to be doing today?
I'm going to play the piano.
Okay. And how long have you been involved with the piano? How long have you been playing?
About 6 years.
6 years. And how old are you now?
I am 10 years old.
And you've been in with this six years. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, is this your first time performing for the public?
No.
No? Okay. What other things have you done?
I've played here before.
Okay.
And then we've also done like a solo concert for the public and other concerts.
Okay. Do you like doing these kind of things?
Yes.
Why?
Well, it makes people happy.
Uh-huh.
And I like making people happy, and it's really fun playing for the audience.
Okay. What type of music do you like?
Classic.
Classic? Okay.
Yes.
Which one are your favorite pieces?
Chopin, Fantasy, Impromptu.
Okay. What are you going to be playing today?
I'm going to play the Chopin Fantasy Impromptu and my composition, Cinderella Suite.
Okay, when you say your compositions, that's something that you wrote? Or?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, this is your mom with you, right?
Yes.
Okay, and mom, could you introduce yourself?
Yuri Yamaguchi,
okay.
Naomi's mom.
Okay, and how did you become involved with the Tatum Foundation?
Oh, the one of Naomi's friend and involved this program before, and she introduced Naomi about this.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about it?
Oh, it's great. Mr. Tatum is looking for, you know, taking care of Naomi every year, and she's growing as a musician.
Okay.
Yeah, she's enjoying performing.
Okay. And that does.
I'm 14 years old. I am a cellist currently attending the Interlochen Arts Camp, participating in the Interlochen Philharmonic Orchestra.
Okay, now, how did you get to be involved with that particular project, the Interlochen group? Yeah, how did you get into all of that?
So, started playing the cello at age 8, which is when I was introduced to Mr. James Tatum not too long after, and he kind of introduced me to the Interlochen Arts Camp, and he's been giving me scholarship money toward his foundation, toward the camp every year.
Some of us who don't know about it, let's backtrack. What is Interlochen before we go into anything else? What is Interlochen?
Interlochen is an international arts camp located in Interlochen, Michigan, just south of Traverse City, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for many years. And people come from all over the world to come here, participate in the camp, to come to performances, and yeah, it's just an arts camp that's been here. Also, an high school, Ishwak Art Academy, has also been here for just about as long as the camp has. So.
Okay. Now, what has it been like for you this particular summer?
This summer has been amazing. This is my first year participating in the high school division of the camp, and I've gotten to work with many guest artists, guest conductors. I finally got a chance to participate in the Interlochen Philharmonic, and I've just gotten to meet so many great people, and it's just been absolutely amazing.
Okay, now when you say, who are some of the people that you've met since you've been there?
I've gotten to work with Jung Ho Park, mm-hmm. Carolyn Watson, Joshua Bell, violinist, mm-hmm. The Cavani String Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
So far, that's all, but there are more to come.
Right.
Any Kavafian violinist will be here.
And what was that like for you to meet these people?
I just couldn't even describe the feeling. I've seen these people on TVs and conducting orchestras that I've dreamt of being in and playing with professional symphonies, and just finally getting to meet them was like a dream come true.
All right. Can you tell me about one of the meetings with the people? You know, you said you met Mr. Bell. What was? Tell me about that particular meeting.
Well, Joshua Bell came here 2 days ago, I believe, and he performed the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto in E minor with the orchestra here, and students got a chance to meet him, and, you know, he was just talking about, you know, he was really glad to be here. The orchestra sounded great, and I got to just talk to him. We kind of hung out with him, and he played a little for us.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Okay. So, all right, I can hear it in your voice that you were excited and things like that. Now, what are some of the things that you're doing as you're there? Now, are you, are you going through workshops, training, or just what's going on for you particularly?
Yes. Like I said, I participate in the Interlochen Philharmonic, also a viola quintet.
Mm-hmm. You're talking to lay people. So when you say these particular a viola quintet, what is that? Okay.
A viola quintet is a chamber group of two violas, two violins, and a cello. Mm-hmm. And we perform every 3 weeks. Also, I'm studying with cellist Mark Rudolph and cellist David Carter. And that's all for me.
All right. Now, these are professional cellists. I think you said that before?
Yes.
All right. And so are you getting a one-on-one, or is it a group training, or just how does that happen?
I get a one-on-one once a week with both of them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I study with one for 3 weeks, David Carter for the first 3 weeks and Mark Rudolph for the second 3 weeks.
Okay. All right. And I can still hear the excitement in your voice. All right. Now, how long will you be up there at Interlochen for this particular? How long does the camp last?
The entire camp for orchestral majors is 6 weeks.
All right. So you're just coming to the end of it. Is that it?
Yes, sir. I'm at my fourth week right now.
Okay. All right. And then do they have a showcase similar to what they had here in Detroit, or just, you know, at the end of this the workshop, or what happens?
There's a performance here that happens once a year called the Interlochen Collage, uh-huh. which is a huge performance of every major here, orchestra, wind symphony, visual artists perform, dancers, vocalists, creative writers read, and that always happens near the end. And also the Interlochen Fiddle performs every week, every Sunday at 3 o'clock.
All right. Oh, every Sunday. Oh, and so there's more or less like a ongoing show performance up there at Interlochen?
Yes, we have performances every week and auditions every week for new chair placements.
Okay, now. All right, so now you were telling me that the James Tatum Foundation has enabled you to come to this Interlochen program?
Yes, every year, Mr. Tatum and the foundation, I've played in this showcase and have received scholarships for Interlochen, and it's helped a lot for me to come here, and I'm really thankful for the foundation for allowing me to see a fifth summer here in Interlochen.
Now, what are some of your goals for yourself right now?
Definitely to be able to participate in the World Youth Symphony Orchestra, which is another orchestra here at Interlochen. and just to also to perform in the Interlocking Concerto competition, which the prize is to play your concerto with the World Youth Symphony. So that's a huge goal of mine that I'd love to accomplish.
All right. Now, last year, were you, was that a similar goal? Or is it like each year you that's more something you strive for?
Well, this year was the first year I actually went and watched the competition. So I really want to do it. You know, last year I didn't really get to. My schedule wasn't as free, so I wasn't able to.
All right. Okay. All right. Now, you were saying that this is your first year in the high school class?
Yes. There are three divisions divided by age, the junior boys, intermediate boys, high school, and I just completed my freshman year, so I got to participate in the high school division.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, so you are in your eighth grade now? What grade are you in now?
Oh, no. I'm going into my sophomore year.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Okay. Your sophomore year. All right. Okay. And what school will you be attending when you go come back in the fall?
I'll be attending Cranbrook Kingswood.
Okay. Now, I understand from your mom that you have already been performing at the Orchestra Hall as a part of which group was that?
I've been performing with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra Civic Youth Ensembles in their orchestral program for 7 years now to perform on Detroit Symphony Orchestra stage and also as a soloist with the James Hayden Foundation anniversary every year.
All right. So now, do you feel that you are a pro at this point, or what? How would you describe your?
You know, I definitely feel like I've been progressing, and Interlocking's been a huge part of that. Hopefully, one day I'll be there.
Well, no, I have heard you, and I'm not really. Okay, now, is your goal to become a classical cellist, or do you want to go into another genre of music, or just what is, you know, or what do you see yourself going with that?
My goal is to become a classical cellist in a major symphony orchestra, or the New York Ballet Paid Orchestra, or the New York Broadway.
And when you say those kinds of things, is that a how many years? No, at what age do you see yourself accomplishing this?
Well, hopefully, I'll most definitely audition for the symphonies and the orchestras out of college. I'll probably go to my first few years of college and audition.
All right. Now, when Josh is not studying piano and practicing all that, and how many hours a day do you invest in doing in your cello?
I invest as much time as possible in my instrument. You know, schoolwork and things, it kind of fluctuates, but typically 3 to 4 hours a day, if not more.
And when you're not doing that, then what are you? Or when are you relaxing? When you're relaxing, you're not doing cello stuff. What else is happening with Josh?
I like to just, explore different types of music. Like, I love jazz, and I just like to read through scores, and I play lacrosse also, so sports.
When do you have time for lacrosse?
In the spring. The orchestral season is over during lacrosse season, so that kind of frees my schedule a little bit.
All right. Well, Josh, I want to thank you very, very much for allowing me to have the chance to talk to you and the interview. At the end of the Interlocking camp, Josh realized his goal and dream, and he is now one of the World Student Orchestra participants, or whether I should say a member of the World Student Orchestra. Following now, we'll hear from Josh as he performs on his cello. Thank you.
WHFR Dearborn, broadcasting the best music since 1985.
This is Jen Cass, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Such a smart choice.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the functified starship. Functified starship.
Stardate, it is Tuesday, September the 23rd, 2014. We're broadcasting live and direct from Henry Ford College. Your DJ commander of the Funkified Starship, Mark Anthony, has just landed on the campus of Henry Ford College to bring you the Planet Funk from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on the station making.
Yeah, you're listening to WHFI Dearborn. Yo, guys and dolls out there, here we are, you're at the Malt Shop with Daddy G here on WHFR, and we're going